You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Morning to you. Thursday edition of All Marine Radio. Fired up for today. After the show, head to Las Vegas. That's in Nevada. Yeah, it is. And to Caesar's Palace. Headed for Marine Corps birthday ball there. As the guest of honor and guest speaker. Yeah, how about that? Boom! So, I'm excited about that. And, you know, whenever you get a chance to hang out with Marines at the prom gone wrong, it's cool. So, been working on my little speech so I don't screw that up. Be pointed, be quick, right? And let the truth land with a thud. So that's what I'm doing. So, so here's my plan. Here's my speech, right? First of all, you have to say, you know, you thank everybody, obviously, for being invited. Tell everybody how great they look. I might make a few remarks about the prom gone wrong, right? And one of the things I love about Marine Corps birthday balls is, you know, they look fantastic, right? You know, all the Marines in their uniforms. Come on, there's not a better uniform on the planet than the uniform that the United States Marines wear. Our dress blues, come on, that stuff's awesome. Right? Hell, that's why half the Marine Corps joins, just to wear that. And then there's the women and men that are attracted to Marines, right? Arguably, they got more issues than we do. Like, we got issues, you're attracted to us, which means you probably have more. And so I kind of jokingly say that. And I said, and then the girls in their beautiful dresses, most of which your mothers would not approve of, right? And then, which is true. That's the best part of it, right? Which is true. So you get to come to the prom and your mom's not around to spike all your dress choices. Yeah. So it has all the makings, right, of a very bad night, right? Or a very adventurous night, right? The prom gone wrong. And, but it's an awesome spectacle as nobody in the American military, nobody in any military I know celebrates, right, their birthday like we do. And it's cool. Again, it's another part of what it is to be in the Marine Corps, these things that nobody else does that we do. So anyway, then my remarks, hopefully they can show a slide and a video for me. But anyway, I'm going to say something like, I think I know why I'm here today. And that is because the work I've done in this thing that I do called post-traumatic winning that's born out of the radio show that I started 3.5 years ago. And first of all, let me just tell you a little bit about what it is. Let me tell you about the impact, which is, I think, why I'm here. And then let me tell you about you. All right? And I'm on the verge of doing something great in this country. I haven't done it yet, but I'm on the verge of it. Okay? And I believe that it will happen. And it will change the landscape of how people look at life post-trauma. So... but I want to talk to you about this organization, this tribe, how unique it is, what makes it unique, which is their DNA, how much more unique I think your DNA is than my DNA is, you know, and what I say is that I, when I joined the Marine Corps, you know, there was structure in my life, there was discipline in the world, right? You come from a culture that doesn't have any of that. My step into the Marine Corps was not a great leap for me. You know, this stuff had been part of my life, and I didn't learn anything new in the Marine Corps. They pushed me harder, right? They roughed me up. They taught me how to do it in different circumstances and taught me to be more relentless about it, but they didn't teach me anything new. I learned that stuff when I was a kid, playing sports and in school and all the rest of it. But you don't come from that culture, and yet you still choose the Marine Corps. And so my step in the Marine Corps is a relatively small one. Yours is a leap across the Grand Canyon. So I would tell you that your DNA is more unique than mine. And I want to tell you, right? I want to show you the future, because at some point everybody getting out of this thing. Everybody has to get out. Okay? And I want to, if I'm on the verge of doing something great, let me tell you why I think I'm on the verge of doing something great, and let me offer that to you tonight. And then I'll talk about following the things that you're passionate about in life. Greatness comes from hard work. Hard work does not, you can't do enough of it to be great if you're working 8 hours a day and looking at the clock to go home. That is not what greatness is about. Greatness is about following what you're passionate about and finding a way to do that. Okay? And that's what I did. I was too stupid to quit. I probably should have. There's a guy named Bob Nielsen who's a patron saint of what I did. Were it not for him, this would not have happened. All right? So maybe there's some fortune involved, or maybe some of your hard work pays off. You know? Oops. And maybe some of your, I've heard a saying, a guy named Ralph Engelstad, who is a contractor in Las Vegas. He played hockey at the University of North Dakota. That's how I knew him. But he played hockey in the 50s. He built one of the hotels in Vegas. He built the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Yeah. And Ralph had a saying, the harder I work, the luckier I get. And so maybe there's a little bit of that to it, because hard work is nothing foreign if you're a Marine. You're not afraid of it. It's what you sign up for and all of that. So what I want to tell you tonight is do something great with your life. And doing something great, right, starts with following what you're passionate about. Don't pursue money. Do not pursue anything that might make you famous, right? Those are dead ends, and they don't work. Pursue what you love. Pursue what you're passionate about. And in the pursuit of that, you will spend the extra hours. You will spend the extra brain power. You will do all the things because it is your passion, right? So that you will actually never work a day in your life, and your days will be filled with satisfaction and fulfillment. And if you do that, and if you spend years at what you love, you will do something unique. You will do something special. And that is how you live a great life. That is how you live great. And our culture is replete with it. If you read about Fred Smith and FedEx, Marine, right? He says everything that he needed to start FedEx, he learned in the Marine Corps. The GoDaddy guy, right? I mean, these guys have changed the planet, right? And where they were killed is the exact same place that you were built in this culture. And what did they do when they got out? They pursued their dreams. They pursued what they love. So I'm here tonight to tell you that if you want to do great things, if you want to change your culture, if you want to save lives, if you want to make a difference, do something that you're passionate about. So maybe, and I might show the video, right? I might show the video. And so I'm still waiting on whether they can accommodate that. If I have a couple slides, could you put those up there? And so I'm still waiting to hear back on whether they can do that. Hopefully they can, right? If they can, then I'm in. That way I can say, this is what I do. This is what post-traumatic winning does. And I'll bomb the video up. Right? Then I'll talk about very quickly the journey that post-traumatic winning has been on. And so, anyway. So I'm looking forward to it. But the coolest part is hanging out and meeting Marines and their guests I mean, I had somebody come up to me at Mankato, Minnesota State University Mankato, a couple weeks ago, 10 days ago, and said to me, shook my hand, he said, you know, I heard you speak last year. I said, really? And he said, yep. And he said, I lost 44 pounds because of what you said. I was like, what? I said, well, hell, maybe you should help me so I could lose 45 pounds. So those are that's my plan. Let me know if you think it's good or bad or what I can add or subtract. Not that that will influence me, but your opinions are always welcome. Let me tell you about yesterday, right? Yesterday had the opportunity to, after the show, to head down to Camp Pendleton and go to a gathering of my friends, right? And and it was awesome. It was awesome. A great friend of mine, Chris Bronzy, took over the 15th MEO. And we're battle buddies times two. We met in Ramadi in 2004. I've told a story about that. And he was a captain, and I was working for General Mattis. General Kelly comes to me and goes, hey, now, Chris Bronzy worked for one of my good friends, right? And that's Paul Kennedy. So we're in Ramadi. Ramadi's got this kind of river. It's got a river and then a canal that runs through it, right? The Euphrates River runs through Ramadi, and then there's this canal. So anyway, Kelly is going to go out and see Kennedy. And out to Combat Outpost, which was in the heart of darkness in Ramadi. Yeah, it was like something in some kind of like terrible movie, right? It was Combat Outpost, man. So Kelly says, hey, you want to go see Kennedy with me? And I said, yeah, I'd love to see, you know, you always love to see your buddies. And so, so we go. Now, we're there for maybe 15 minutes and they start shooting mortars into the Combat Outpost. And so so I met Chris that day. And Paul told me, he said, hey, Mac, he's a former IOC instructor, which is a school I taught at. General Furness taught at. General Kennedy. General Kelly was a group chief there. General Osterman was an instructor there, who's the commanding general of one MAF, who officiated yesterday. So it was cool. It was cool. So anyway, we go out and I meet Chris there. Then when we went to Afghanistan, he got assigned to the regiment before he left. And he and I were kind of the two last joints. And, so he sends me this email. He goes, "Hey, Mac, you're going with RCT1? And I said, "Yeah." He said, "I just got assigned." I was like, "You! So you're going with your buddies, man. Awesome." So we spent a year together in Afghanistan. And he's a Yankee fan. So we discuss the Yankees at length. And, but the cool part of yesterday is, you know, you're going to go down and see him take command of the 15th Marine Expeditionary Unit. And, so let me explain to everybody who doesn't know what one of those is. When you read about Marines floating around someplace in the world, right, that's called a Marine Expeditionary Unit. Okay. It's formed with three elements. There's an aviation element, right? Now, a lot of F-35s, but it's got helicopters to move Marines. It's got Ospreys, right? It's got this whole package that they go out with. And then it's got a battalion of Marines, so about 1,000 Marines. And then it's got a logistics capability that supports all of that. And they put it on amphibious ships, and we send them out, and they go float around looking for trouble or to render humanitarian services if there's typhoons or earthquakes or something like that. It's part of, we were talking to Grant Newsham the other day about power projection. The United States has been in this business for a long time, right? And so when you can show up and you can park aircraft carriers and people that can go ashore today, the whole fight tonight thing is no shit in the Marine Corps, right? Fight tonight. And so anyway, so that's what a MEU is, just so you know what a MEU is. So anyway, Chris is now a colonel and he took command of the 15th MEU yesterday that's based out of Camp Pendleton. So, but what happens when something like that happens? It's a gathering of all your buddies, right? Because people come from all over the country to see it, right? General Furness came down from 29 Palms. He's been out there for the last month, with 2nd Marine Division. And, he came down. And, which was really cool. And we had other buddies fly in from across the country. And that was really cool. And so, so you get a chance to see all those guys. So you go there and you're all like geeked up, right? Jeff Kenny was there. So I got a chance to see Jeff yesterday. You'll hear from him. And, we recorded it yesterday before we went, just so everybody knows, because I'm headed for Las Vegas here this morning. So when you're listening to this, we're not actually doing it live, just so you know. So you go down there, and first of all, General Osterman and I talked together at IOC. I took over everything that he taught. I took all his stuff over. And so got a chance to talk to he and his wife as before the ceremony. And, you know, again, we taught together in 1990, right? That's how long these relationships go back. And then I know General Furness, right, taught with him at the same time since 1990. And then you see guys who you met in Iraq and Afghanistan. I met a guy who I hadn't seen since he'd been promoted to Brigadier General. His name's Tom Savage. When I was working for General Mattis, he was working for General Mattis's boss. So we would have to coordinate things all the time. And Savage, he's a grown up man. I talk about, you know, grown ups in the room. Tom Savage is a grown up and he's now Brigadier General. And, he was in Afghanistan when we were there. And so I followed him. And Tom's a good dude, so I got a chance to catch up with him today. And then from our group that was in Afghanistan, Both of our air officers were there who, I mean, you know, I worked with side by side every day for a year, you know, trying to kill bad guys and trying to save good guys. They're just awesome guys. Rich Elaine, who just retired, he gave up his squadron and went down to see his change of command and then went to a retirement party for him. So Rich is a smart guy. And, so he was there. F-18 man was there. Who else was there? Well, General Finesse was there. One of our logistics officer, his name's Joe Gros. He was there. Another one of our guys, Trent Gibson. If you know the Jason Dunham story, Trent Gibson is Jason Dunham's company commander. Jason Dunham, awarded the Medal of Honor in Iraq after he dove on a hand grenade. And so Trent was there. Matt Lesniewicz who is our H&S company commander. He's a captain then. He's a lieutenant colonel now. So, Matt was there. So, I mean, it was just a great group of guys and girls. I mean, we only had a couple of women that were in our organization. But getting together with them is awesome. We went to, we hung out at the reception, and then after that we went to Joe's Crab Shack at the Oceanside Harbor and sat at a picnic bench table and hung out till, I don't know, about 8 o'clock at night. And then, you know, people are flying out in the morning, and F-18 man, he's got to fly, and I had to come back and do some work in preparation for going to Las Vegas. So they could show my stuff. Awesome. So anyway, and again, I always say this, there is no warmer place on the planet than being in the presence, the company of your battle buddies. It is the coolest, best place in the world. And so hanging out with them yesterday, laughing and telling stories and then serious discussions too. And so, they're smart. All my friends tend to be this. The people you hear come on this are all the same. They're smart. They tend to have a good sense of humor, and they're tough, man. They're tough. They're tough human beings. They fought for this country. They're selfless leaders, and that's why we've all kind of hung together, is because we believe in the same shit. And so it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. So yesterday was awesome, and then to see one of your your buddies. And Chris is a lot younger than me. So you've watched him, you know, I've watched him, be a company commander, watched him be a battalion commander, and now, you know, a regimental size unit, actually larger than a regiment, he will lead, and they will deploy someplace, in the world. So, Chris Bronzy is, and this will not be the last thing he commands. Right. If he decides to, he will command at higher levels. He's that kind of dude. And, he's a class act. He's not like me. He's not like me. We're buddies, but, he's a little bit more professional than I am. But he's a great leader, and he's a no shit American war hero. And, his daily leadership of his company in Ramadi in 2004 won him the Leftwich Trophy, which is an award given to the company commander in the Marine Corps who is deemed to be, you know, the most outstanding leader that year. And Chris was awarded that in the aftermath of his deployment to Ramadi in 2004. And in 2004, we were not as evolved as we are now. We did not shoot indirect fire into cities. We didn't have lower signature ordnance from aviation platforms that we could shoot. We did not have the drone capabilities that, then that we have now. And so he and his Marines, man, they went out there alone and unafraid every day to get it on with rifles and machine guns and grenade launchers, right? And all that's what they did every day. And their courage, if you, for those of us who observed it, their courage and selflessness as they sought to do good things, there was the stuff that takes your breath away. And so anyway, to watch him kind of go through his career, his family met his sister yesterday, and also met his in-laws, who I've heard him talk about how great his in-laws are, and awesome. So just all in all, you know, basking in the warmth of our tribe and how cool it is, and on occasions like this when it gathers and you get to be around so many people that you've spent time with in your career, it's just really cool. So with that said, the United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Good morning to you. This is dedicated to Chris Bronzy, Colonel of the United States Marine Corps. Congratulations, a great friend, his family, and to all his friends who gathered to honor him, not only him, but the outgoing commanding officer of the 15th MU yesterday. And it's dedicated to all of that. It was an awesome day, and fair winds and following seas to everybody.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. the Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marine, then you really ought to get up. The only reason I've stuck around that low paying outfit 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, infant soldier, infantry, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. You know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. We got to win.
All right, time to check the weather. Yeah, I'm a little bit earlier. And that means the only person that has their shithole weather in is Chris from Webster. Anyway, around Marineland today, it is cold on the East Coast. It is cloudy and 33 in Quantico. It is partly sunny and 44 at Camp Lejeune. Out in 29 Palms, it is cloudy and 55. At Camp Pendleton, it is cloudy and 51. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark, clear, and 69. Okinawa, cloudy, dark, and 66. In Afghanistan, it is clear, dark, and 59 early in the evening in Lashkar Gah in Helmand. And in Ramadi, it's a balmy 73. Evening setting in Ramadi. And cloudy skies. At home of Almarine Radio, hazy, whatever the hell that means, and 60 degrees, all right? Looking for a high of 70 degrees today. 69 tomorrow, and 78 on Saturday. That is a look at your weather. We'll take a break. More Ball Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made. This heartbreak, break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I dream, yeah.
Peyton Davis on the Thursday, in the middle of us screwing off last night, I get a text message from one of my post-traumatic winning guys. Yeah, Corporal. Been in the desert for the last couple months. Sends me a screenshot of a Navy Achievement Medal write-up for him. He goes, hey, Mac, check this out. I'm like, awesome, man. Absolutely, positively awesome. Yeah, doing good things. And then, you know, when I met him, not so much. So that's what I always say. You know, at the end of the show or when I think about it, go out and change somebody's life, man. It's the best feeling. And then and they start changing other people's lives, and then out of the blue you get these text messages. And we're all sitting together. Actually, General Furness sitting right across from me, and this Marine is one of his Marines. So I pulled the message up, and I turned, I said, one of your Marines. Whose life you saved, I think. Who's now saving other lives. Just got recognized. Awesome. Awesome. Really cool. So General Furness to tell us the story. He's like, look, I want to recognize before we leave the desert in front of everybody, right? We're going to get everybody assembled, you know, the birthday, and we're going to give awards. We're going to give awards, out. And they're like, well, sir, we haven't written them. Like, I don't care. Write them. Get after it right now. Get me those Marines who've done great things while we've been here. And he said, I gave 20-something awards out in front of, you know, but the coolest part is if you've ever, you know, when you're there like that, right? Right, and it's just you, right? And you're all together, and you get recognized in front of that group, like, that's pretty above average, okay? It's like being combat promoted. In front of your peers, right? Everybody, you get held up in front of everybody and say, this guy, this girl, they're ballers, right? In front of everybody who you work with, right? You get singled out. And it's cool. Here these young Marines are, and they do such good stuff. And a lot of them, you know, they may get a medal and it's awarded in front of their platoon. To have it awarded in front of the whole division, come on. I don't care what you give me. You could, like, poke me in the eye in front of the whole division and tell me that I did great stuff and then poke me in the eye. Would not bother me one scintilla. So he was telling that story, and then, you know, you get this text message, and it's just good, man. Get out there and preach the gospel. I don't know when I say that, my left hand goes up in the air. Preach the gospel and help people, right? And then just look at them and say, man, go do good stuff. Right? Go do good stuff. All right. Some news headlines. Stars and Stripes. More than 4 million additional people will get access to DOD commissaries in 2020. The expansion grants veterans with a documented service-related disability, Purple Heart recipients, former prisoners of war, and certain veteran caregivers access to commissaries, military exchanges, and some morale, welfare, and recreation services on bases within the United States. So these are obviously non-retirees, because retirees can go use those facilities when they choose. So I will tell you this. The commissary system's struggling. That's why you're seeing this. Right? Now you have bases with you know, Walmart, Kmart's outside of them. Blah, 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 blah. And they compete. So, anyway, second headline. Secretary of the Army Mark Esper says the U.S. may continue to make changes to military drills in South Korea for diplomacy's sake. Washington has already canceled or reduced the scope of several annual exercises after President Trump announced he was stopping the war games after his first summit with North Korea leader Kim Jong-un last year. So then Esper goes on to say that that will continue. The United States has transferred patrol boats to the Ukraine as military aid takes center stage during the impeachment hearings. Two retired Coast Guard cutters were formally handed over to the Ukraine at a ceremony in the port of Odessa on Wednesday, the same day that U.S. diplomats were testifying at an impeachment hearing. So the United States finally starting to give some actual no-shit aid to the Ukraine after years and years of talking trash about it. Fort Carson Army Sergeant killed by fellow soldier in a shooting. He was killed by a corporal, both assigned to the 1st Striker Brigade combat team of the 4th Infantry Division. And driving home from Las Vegas the other afternoon, I saw a bunch of strikers as we went by the area where Fort Irwin is. Part of the investigation, according, Garcia told detectives the gun fired after he dropped it on the kitchen floor. But Sanchez's friends and family are skeptical of Garcia's account. Part of the investigation, according to El Paso County Coroner Dr. Leon Kelly, involves deciding whether the discharge of the weapon was caused by a complete disregard for other safety or was unintentional. Police refused to call it an accident. According to his wife, it wasn't an accident. An accident is falling down the stairs and getting stitches, not killing someone. He was just a wonderful man and didn't deserve this. Anyway, also, you know, I keep you abreast of statistics and in my discussions, and I got told that what had been suspected as a second suicide in the 2nd Marine Division was not a suicide. So I don't know any more than that, but I just got told that, hey, Mac, I know you keep track of this stuff, and just for your situational awareness. So that number sits at 1 still now after 11 months, which is, and again, the significance of that number is that it illustrates the power of what can be done. I believe, you know, when people, you know, you tell them the truth and then challenge them to do more, they want it. They want to do more. And so, so that number is 1 though. So, terrible story. And again, I didn't ask too many questions about it because it's not my business, but, from USNI News, the Navy and the Air Force reach a handshake agreement to develop a joint battle network. Obviously covered aviation assets. So interesting stuff. And then from Marine Corps Times. Haven't seen a whole lot of interesting stuff in Marine Corps Times, to be honest with you. Right? I mean, a lot of the stuff I would tell you is what I would say clickbait. And maybe that's what drives traffic there. But I have not seen the things of substance that I would tell you that, oh yeah, let's talk about this story. The top five stories in Early Bird. There's a story about educating, you know, people about the scammers that are online. And I have to tell you, I mean, if you don't have to be online doing anything, you know, anything you're a part of, there's always people emailing you. There's always people, if you're on any kind of social network, there's always the fake and the phony in there. And, you know, I guess there's a lot of gullible people. You know, this stuff started, I remember years ago, in North Dakota, there was a scam that people were running. They were calling elderly people in the state, and they were looking on Facebook to find out who your grandma and grandpa were. And when they could discern that, they would call them, find out their phone number, call them, because most elderly people still have landlines, right? And so they would call them and say, hey, grandma, this is your grandson, Eddie. I'm at the border, and they're detaining me and telling me I have to post a $10,000 bond. Can you wire me $10,000 to this, Western Union place, and it's got to say this? And they would do it. And I remember thinking, wow, I mean, come on. You don't, your voice sounds different. You know, I don't, how does that happen? I'm a friend of Larry's, and he can't come to the phone, but he wanted me, and you just do this over and over again until you get somebody that does it. And so, but I don't know how you prevent that. Anyway, I guess you could give a class, but it seems like the people that it happens to, I mean, they it's not like they haven't heard it before. You know, for some reason they want to believe it, they do believe. All right, top five stories in Early Bird, story number one. A big fan. Trump welcomes Turkey's Erdogan despite bipartisan concern over Syria's attack. Yeah, Erdogan has steered his country in a different direction. I don't think being part of NATO is on the long-term horizon for Turkey. I don't think being an ally of the United States is something that they give a shit about anymore. And so I think the United States should start making plans to move the Incirlik base someplace else in the region. President Donald Trump heaped praise on Turkish President Erdogan yesterday during a day-long visit to the White House on Wednesday, despite bipartisan concern that the authoritarian leader is sowing chaos in the Middle East, as House lawmakers began public hearing on the Ukraine thing. There was little sign on Wednesday of bipartisan criticism that had cropped up in response to Trump's approach to Turkey, after a series of meetings, the president told reporters during an East Room press conference that he hopes to broker an agreement with Turkey that would significantly expand trade between the two countries. I'm a big fan of the president, Trump said of Erdogan. The meeting with Erdogan had been in the works for weeks, allowed Trump to marshal some attention away from the impeachment hearings on Capitol Hill. Is that what it was about? Anyway, in my opinion, we're playing charades with Turkey, right? Watch what they do. Don't listen to what they say. Number two, Navy denies canceling Black Sea on Trump's orders. Number three, Pentagon watchdog won't investigate Ukraine aid, citing ongoing impeachment inquiries. Number four, stealthy Lockheed F-35 breaks down too often, according to the Pentagon. Now, again, here's the thing that are important. In the early phases of the fielding of anything, it breaks down. And then slowly but surely, you know, the thing comes online and you fix all these little things that need to be fixed. All right. The Pentagon's chief weapons tester said the next generation F-35 jet continues to fall short of full combat readiness targets. And despite some progress in reliability issues, all three versions of the fighter are breaking down more often than planned. None of the Air Force, Marine, and Navy variants of the Lockheed Martin Corporation fighter are meeting their five key reliability or maintainability metrics, according to Robert Beeler, the Pentagon's Director of Operational Testing, and in prepared remarks Wednesday, said in prepared remarks Wednesday before two House Armed Service Committee panels. So, again, the question is this normal given the feeling of this platform? We would have to do a deep dive into that, okay, to find out the truth. Number five, Esper, American military could alter drills in a Korea. Overseas operation. The storied Triple Nickel fighter squadron deploys to the Middle East. I've never heard of the Triple Nickel. Maybe I should investigate. What's the Triple Nickel? The 555th Fighter Squadron from Aviano Air Base in Italy is now deployed to the U.S. Air Force's Central Command Area of Responsibility, which includes Middle Eastern nations such as Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Qatar. Air Force Central Command said on a November 10th news release, the squadron's F-16 Flying Falcons are flying out of Al Udeid Air Base in Qatar. Now, I'm finding out, why is it storied? Does it say? The 555th has been around since 1942 when it was formed as the 555th Bombardment Squadron flying B-26 Marauders out of England, France, and Belgium during World War II, according to the squadron's official history. The squadron's colors were retired after World War II, but it was revived in 1964 at MacDill Air Force Base in Florida to fly the F-4C Phantom II. It returned to combat 2 years later in Southeast Asia, where it led the first night bombing attacks against North Vietnam, attacked the Ho Chi Minh Trail, and took part in Operation Linebacker 1 and Linebacker 2. The Triple Nickel racked up dozens of confirmed victories against MiGs and earned this sobriquet, the world's largest distributor of MiG parts. That's awesome. That is hilarious. The world's largest distributor of MiG parts, meaning that they've blown so many out of the sky. The 555th returned to the United States in 1974, moved to Luke Air Base in Arizona, where it began flying the F-15. Two decades later, it was transferred to Aviano and started flying the F-16. Air Force Chief of Staff, General Dave Goldfein, is another notable former commander of the 555th. He led those fighters over Serbia in 1999. I got a note from his wife yesterday. Yeah! Mac, what is up? Anyway, yeah. So, the lovely Dawn Goldfein. So, she's a huge fan of Post-Traumatic Wing. And, we need to get something done. Turkey says it captured an important ISIS figure in Syria. Uh-oh. A little bit cryptic, right? A little bit cryptic. That'll do it. So we'll take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear from Tim Lynch and Jeff Kenny in the much anticipated Lynch and Kenny event. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home fort, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.